Heritage Church, Reverend Nate Bull needs no introduction. But for some of you, perhaps he does. Nate Bull is an inner city church planter. He has planted a congregation in Kalamazoo, and he currently works with Forefront Ministry in Benton Harbor. This congregation, Nate, they love you. And we are grateful that you are here. Nate is a man passionate in his desire to reach people. He is a gifted communicator, as you're soon to experience. And brother, we're grateful. Welcome. Come lead us.
Do you have that mic? Microphone right here? Yeah. Good morning.
Oh, I need your mic.
Sorry. Hey, thank you for having us. And we really do appreciate you guys' help. In Benton Harbor especially, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I told them the evening service the last time I was here, but we formed what we call in CRC and RCA church polity, something called a collegiate church. What that is, I don't know, because I don't know how aware you are of your own polity, but what that is one consistory with several different churches, kind of like a multi-site, except all of our sites, all of our church sites, even though they have their own leadership teams, they all report and are accountable to one big consistory, and this is just called a collegiate church. So that means that we have a church site, two church sites in Kalamazoo, one on the north side of Kalamazoo, one on the south side, one in Benton Harbor, and then the one we've been working on in Detroit. So, whether you know it or not, you've been supporting work in a lot of different places. Most recently in Benton Harbor, but hopefully, you know, you reconsider, you know, expanding. Why not Detroit? Hey, take a trip down there, catch a Lions game, work in the city, you know, go to Hard Rock Cafe, eat a bacon cheeseburger, come on back. Anyways, I brought a couple people with me this morning. The first guy said he doesn't want to say anything. So his name is Don Glass. Can you at least stand? All right, this is Don. This is my friend. We've been friends for a long time. This is Don Glass, and he's the leader of the community development work that we do. One of the sections is housing, and he's the director of His Kingdom Housing. So he came along because some of you guys have been asking, is there more information about what you guys do? So he said he'll talk.
Hi, everyone. Hey, so our ministry grew out of the street ministers, Nate and Bobby and several other folks in the Edison neighborhood. Oh, so.
It looks like it's on.
Number 12.
Number 12.
Test.
There it is.
There we go. Okay. So grew out of the street ministers, talking to people on the streets, complaining about the lack of quality, affordable housing. We're primarily right now in the Edison neighborhood, serving that neighborhood. We have five homes. Two are in our lease-to-own program that are occupied. We've got three that are undergoing rehab. And we engage people from the community where and when possible. Several have gone on now to from being underemployed to full-time employment as a result of the connections within the greater church community. We have a great need there. Over 80% of the homes there are, not all slumlords, but our focus is to get home ownership back in those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
To get some pride in home ownership and rehab the neighborhoods, one street, one home, one street at a time, one block at a time. The need's great. We need skilled workers. We need materials.
we covet your prayers. So.
Perfect. See? Hey, now this guy right here, he's one of the most humble people I know because, man, let me think. Glass Associates, you guys, how long have you guys been in business? 1960. So his father started, it didn't start out as a custom home building, but it really is now a custom home building outfit. You guys have been doing great work for a long time, and now he works for us? We don't pay him like he's working for a custom home builder, but you know, he does great work, and I really appreciate his work. So, he'll be back there at the table, one of the tables in the fellowship room. And if you want any information from him, he'll have it. Then Jessica. Now, do you guys know Jessica? Some of you guys know Jessica. Nunch. I asked her to do a quick update because Jessica can talk. A quick update. She did our. She's been doing our Christian school that we started in Benton Harbor. They started September, and I said, "Can you give them an update about what's been going on?"
Yeah. So River of Life started September 2nd, K through 5, and it's so exciting. It's hard, but it's exciting. The first day we had 12 kids, which was I wasn't surprised. I was expecting we would have 12 kids because Jesus had 12 disciples. Our other school started with 12 kids, and we had 12 kids. So 12 the first day, K through 5. We now have 16. We've added 4 more. And these kids, let me tell you, they love Jesus. It's like crazy. I've never seen kids love God and his word and worshiping him more. And a lot of them, just to give a little picture of what their lives are like, so most of them come from a single parent household. Out of the 16 kids, only 2 kids have dads in their lives. So all of them live with just their mom. So that's something you can be praying for, is that we have men that want to mentor the boys and the girls and have mentors in their lives. And then because it's a Christian school that's affordable to anybody, the families pay 5% of their income. And our average income for the families, I like totaled it all up and figured it out, is $16,000 a year is the average per family. And so they pay 5% of that. So tuition people pay every month is anywhere from $25 to $125 a month. So if you add that up, well, that doesn't really pay me and our other teacher or cover our bills. So we definitely rely on supporters. And our biggest need right now is for scholarships, for our students to be scholarshiped. It costs about $4,000 per student to educate them. And we just fully and totally rely on God to do that and provide that. But just a couple like academic and spiritual highlights with the kids. All but, I want to say 4 of our kids are extremely behind grade level, like at least 1 or 2 grades behind in reading. And they've only been with us a month and a half. And already we've seen amazing progress in their reading and their math. Because what we do is we create individualized education for the kids. And so we meet each kid where they're at for their specific education needs. And we have one of the top reading specialists in the state of Michigan who heard about us and has been volunteering her time to meet with us and help us develop those individualized plans. And then God has also been sending us a lot of volunteers, so that's really encouraging. And then spiritually, all the kids the first week, every single kid, either dedicated their lives to Christ or rededicated their lives to Christ. So that's really incredible. And then we have the opportunity now for 7.5 hours a day to disciple them and teach them what it means to be like Jesus and to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And these kids love praying. I think in a month we had like 8 healings happen, whether it was kids getting healed of things or I came to school one day with an eye infection and the kids prayed for me and it was gone instantly. So these kids believe in God and love God, and they're starting to change their families even. We've had testimonies of parents saying, "This is making such a difference in my child, and I'm studying God's word more, and I'm more excited about God because of what my kids are doing." So pray for us. We need all the prayer we can get, and we definitely need financial support for the kids. So me and our other teacher can get paid, too, and we can pay bills.
Amen. And Jessica, lives at the Women's Ministry House. I don't know if you guys ever saw that one. Have you seen the Women's Ministry House yet? Well, go on Facebook. The Women's Ministry House is being renovated, in the process of being renovated, and it's going to be sharp. But that's where we're going to do all of our women's Bible study stuff out of. And eliminate the dudes from coming in and distracting. Hey, man. Isn't that a good idea? Anyways, that's where Jessica lives, so. And there's needs some work. Bless the Lord. Okay, I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to get right into this. Lord, we need your help right now. And this nation needs your help. And we know from the way that it looks and the mess we've made that it's going to actually take your help. But we trust you. Throughout scripture and contemporary Christian history, you have been in the business about redeeming. And that's what we need right now. We humble ourselves before you. And even right now, I ask, Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts and minds and ears so that we can hear what your Spirit is saying to the church at this time. I yield to you now, Holy Spirit, to use me as a vessel for edification and teaching and all that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this one's Hebrew. We're going to start in Hebrews 5 in verse 11. Now, this is, and I'm not going to be shy about this, this is a full disclaimer. I'm getting ready to. I grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. I'm sure you guys know a little bit about that. But I grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. I'm ordained in the Reformed Church of America. And I'm just telling you that beforehand so that you can't blame it, what I'm about to share with you, on anything else. I'm one of you guys. So I know my skin color is different, but I grew up at 44th and Ivanrest, Fellowship Christian Reformed Church. And I just want you guys to know that I grew up in this denomination. So what you're getting ready to hear was offensive even to me. Now I realize if you should never ask me back, I'm okay with that. I mean, I like you guys as leaders, and the people that I know here I have come to enjoy. But I'm just telling you guys, if the leadership, don't blame this on the pastor either. I didn't send any notes to him at all. I'm just, they were like, we trust him. And, whoa. I'm going to mention again, by the way, I grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. I'm not some charismatic, Pentecostal, nutcase. I love Pentecostal and charismatic people, but that's not where I come from. I come from the Christian Reformed Church. I just want you to know this because I'm getting ready to be transparent about something that really messed me up for a long time. This messed me up because I come from. Verse 11, here we go. About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have had their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. Does anyone have an NIV with them? What does that last part, verse 14, say? Solid food is for the mature. Constant use. Have trained themselves. To distinguish good from evil. Okay, that's what the NIV says, and this is a revised standard version. So, all right, got that? All right, first of all, now I want to ask, has anybody in here been asking or praying that the Lord would do something great in our country? Like, please, Lord, just show your hand. You've been praying, God, please do something different in our country. Anybody? That's not that many. Okay, let me see for real now. How many of you have been praying, Lord, please do something in our country? We're in trouble. All right, that's a lot of you. I just want you guys to know that you've been praying that. All right. You saw some of them, right? You saw a lot of them. They have been praying, Lord, we need something to happen, Lord. Because if you're like me, you look at what's happening in our country, you look at what's happening in our schools, in our economy, all this stuff, you're like, whew, we need some help. Something's got to change. Lord, please come and do something. And I've been praying that same thing. But what I recognized, and this is where it gets difficult, is that God isn't Christian Reformed. He's not Reformed. He's not Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Charismatic. He's just God. All right? Keep that in the back of your mind, because I'm the first part of this, I'm going to tell you a real short, as quick as I can, testimony. And we're going to connect it back to this in addition with, you know, the scripture in Jeremiah 29 that says, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Okay, remember that. You find God when you're seeking him with everything you have. All right? Because now this is the testimony part. I want you guys to know up front that what happened to me and what started happening to me during this season of my life, which was about 2 years ago, is when it started happening, was so offensive to me and myself. I didn't even share with my wife for like 6 months what was happening. All right. All right. Since I was a little boy at Fellowship CRC over on Ivanrest and 44th Street, I always had this desire to know if God was really the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like they said in Heidelberg Catechism class. Is he still the same God? And so as a young boy, I would say probably as early as 11 or 12, I'll say to myself, man, and I didn't say it in these words because I didn't have the language yet, but in general, this is what I said. The God in my church and the God in the Bible don't look like they're the same God. Because the God in the Bible was able to do anything. And the God of my church, he seemed to get worried every time someone came down with a sickness or a disease. Someone lost their job. This God was anxious. And I was like, man, there's got to be... One of them's right. Either the God in the Bible is right or God in my church is right. And at a young age, I said, man, the God in my church must be wrong. That got me into a lot of trouble. All I'm saying is, from a very young age, I had a hunger and thirst in me to know if God was truly still powerful or not. So fast forward that, and now I have been hungering and thirsting, seeking after the Lord in this part of my life for decades. And then about 2 years ago, one of my friends in Kalamazoo asked me to come to this spiritual empowerment class. It was free for any senior pastor. And I said, why not? I come to, you know, Joel Brooks down in Kalamazoo, and he said, Nate, you come on through. You don't have to pay. You could just sit through the class. I said, bless the Lord. So I would come to their class every once in a while when I could and had time, and I would sit through the class. This particular Thursday, the man who is giving the message and he is preaching on Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, like we just talked about. Now, in this message, he says, I graduated from Western Theological Seminary, so I'm checking up on him as he's preaching and teaching. And he says in verse 14, where the young lady was telling us, solid food is for the mature, for those who have had their faculties trained. And the NIV says, who have trained themselves to discern good and evil, or something like that. But what the actual, he was preaching on that train themselves word, and that word in the Greek means physical senses. I looked it up in the Greek Bible because I was like, there's no way. Because then what he's saying is, solid food is for the mature who have trained their senses to discern good and evil. Now, I want you guys to know that when the NIV translators went to translate, they didn't translate physical senses. It didn't make sense to them. But the original language, the original Greek is actual sensing faculties, your nose, your eyes, your ears, your taste, your senses. That's what the actual word is right there. So in the actual language that it was written in, it doesn't say train themselves to discern good and evil. It says who solid food is for the mature, for those who have trained their senses to discern good and evil. Okay, you can already see where I was. During this class, I'm sitting in the back. I was tired. I just came from Benton Harbor, and he says he trained their senses. And I sat up and I said, time out. I go looking in my Greek little Bible I have online. I said, oh no, it does say senses. All right, so now I'm wide awake. I'm sitting there. This is the story he says. He says, because this is when he first found this out. He said he was preaching a message at his church, and at his church, sometimes they have people pray for one another during the service. So anybody who is sick or hurting or depressed or whatever you have, just raise your hands. We'll have the people gather around you and pray for you during service, and they do that several times during their service. He said the congregation is praying for one another. He was on the stage a little bit higher than this. And they're just praying for each other, and he's trying to just discern the will of the Lord at this time. And this lady comes up about 6 feet in front of the stage and starts doing this crazy dance in front of him. He said at their church, they don't really say something is wicked right away, because he said, we've had people run through our church with their face painted with war paint, and like a shield and a sword, and it was like a prophetic move of the Lord. But after they did it, the praise and worship went to a completely different level. So he said, we're very careful to say, sit down, this is wicked. He said, I'm just going to see if this is of the Lord or not. The only problem was, and this was the problem, that he said, it was like the Lord had switched off my ability to discern whether or not this was from the Lord. It was like the Holy Spirit had switched off my ability to discern. I couldn't discern anything. This lady's doing this dance. Everyone else is praying for one another. And I can't discern whether or not this is from the Lord. He said, I remember being cold. Now, about 5 or 10 years before that, his brother, who is a street minister in San Francisco, had a really awful encounter with a wicked spirit, with a demonic spirit in his office while he was praying one time. He said it was awful, but his brother was telling him about this, and he said the entire time that this encounter is going on, his office is freezing cold. After the spirit or whatever it was left, he said he went into the other offices, because he's in a chain of offices, went to every other office, and all the other offices are warm except for his. And he said, while I'm up here and this lady is doing something crazy in front of me, he said, I remember my conversation with my street minister brother, and I remember I'm sitting here, and he said, I'm cold. So he said, I walked this way, it's warm, warm, warm. Walk back towards where she is, it's cold. Walk, warm, warm, warm. So he said, he asked their head dancer, they have a dance team at their church. He told his head dancer, won't you just come up and just do a dance before the Lord? I don't know what's going on, but I just want to check something out. So the lady gets up to do a dance before the Lord, and as soon as she starts dancing, this lady collapses. Boom. They come up, the prayer team come up, pray for the lady. She gets delivered from several demons, receives Jesus as her Savior, is filled with God's Holy Spirit. And this whole time, he's preaching on Hebrews 5, which says, solid food is for the mature who through training have trained, who a reason of use have trained their senses to discern good and evil. And I'm sitting in the back as a solid Christian reformer. Yeah, this is bogus. This is baloney. The only problem is, and now here I'm getting ready to be real transparent with you. Now. Are you guys ready over here? Because I'm just, hey, because if we don't ever see each other again, I want you to you remember what I look like. The only problem is while this dude is sharing this ridiculous story, And while I'm checking the Greek because I want to be a solid Christian reformer and check up on the actual, I want to know from the text, is this even possible? And while he's sharing this story, the whole time I'm realizing, do you know how the Holy Spirit starts to just reveal it to your heart? I'm realizing that since a little boy, there have been very many times where I've been able to smell when something's wrong. And I couldn't tell you why. Until that moment 2 years ago, I couldn't tell you why it was possible. But there were certain people, even at Fellowship Christian Reformed Church, that I was uncomfortable being around because of the smell. And I couldn't explain it. I just knew something's wrong with that person. And there is more than one person later on that I found out there was a very good reason why I could smell something was wrong with that person. Okay, so now I'm sitting at the back, and I'm going nuts in my head. I said, there's no way this is possible. I refuse to believe it. I'm not some crazy charismatic nutcase. I'm a solid reformed man, doggone it, and I'm not going to mess around with all this crazy stuff, and no way, no, done. Now, the problem is now when it's with the Holy Spirit, he don't let you alone with some of this kind of stuff. And now here's what I want to tell you a minute before we go further. The only reason that I didn't write it off wholesale, because I've been crying out to the Lord for this since I was 10. I've been hungering and thirsting that God would start to show me how to walk in the supernatural since I was a boy. And now that God starts to reveal himself in my heart and in my life, I'm resisting it because it's not coming like I thought it was going to come. He didn't come as a solid Christian reformer. God didn't show himself to be even Methodist. I would have been okay with that. He didn't show himself to be a solid Baptist God when he showed up in my life. I said, no way. No. Okay. That's a Thursday evening. Thursday evening. Sunday morning. No kidding. This is like the 3 days later. So for 3 days, I'm sitting, I get up to do my morning devotions. I'm like, golly, it can't be. There's no way. He wouldn't do that to me. Not God. I know my God. He's a good God. He ain't going to mess with me like this. This guy, yeah, well, whatever, and blah, 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 and no way. Senses. Can't believe I went to that stupid class. I ain't going again. So Sunday, I'm asked to do a message in Kalamazoo at one of the Reformed churches that I know. I get there early. I come in the back. I see the pastor up here. I come down, I say, hey, pastor, how you doing? And I notice a young man from the streets up here, and I said, man, I wonder what he's doing here. Because there's an all-white church similar to this, and there's a young black man there very early, and I said, what? I said, hey, what's up, man? I said, hold on a minute, I got to talk to this guy. Let me talk to you in a minute. I get over here, talk with the pastor. He said, let's go back in the back. We're going to pray with the elders. And then I said, perfect. We get in a circle. We're getting ready to pray, and the young man comes around into the doorway of the office, and he said, what are y'all doing? I said, we're getting ready to pray. He said, can I pray with y'all? And the pastor said, fine, come on in. All right, he steps into the circle, and as soon as he steps into the circle, as soon as he steps into the circle, I said, oh, no. Something's wrong. Oh, no, no, not today, Lord. No, not today. I'm getting ready to preach, Lord, and you know. Now you know and I know. So, no, not today. Not today. Uh-uh, not today. Ah, oh, my goodness. And I'm having a war in my heart. The pastor does this real nice prayer. You know, pastors are good at nice prayers. So you does this real nice prayer. I didn't hear anything the pastor said because I'm looking at this dude and I said, oh no, oh no. So, we get out into the. I'm sitting in the front. He's getting ready to walk. I say, ho, you sit right here. So I'm sitting here. He's sitting right behind me. I get up to do the message. No kidding. Now you know. Hey, I'm a CRC boy, but I'm tell you what. It's very rare that you're doing a message in a CRC church and someone says, "Amen." You know what I mean? That's rare. Not that they don't want to. You just. You're CRC people. We're CRC people. No kidding. This dude, at least 4 or 5 times while I'm doing the message, he was, that's what I'm talking about. And he did that at least 4 or 5 times. One time he stood up and said, Obama. I'm not kidding. Because my wife was sitting back there about, and I could see her stop listening to the message and go immediately into intercession. I saw her do it. I know, she's good like that. I turned back to there's a pastor behind me. He's the pastor of a Hispanic church that meets there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's a pastor sitting right there. I turn around to him after I'm done with the message, and I say, hey, stay here as soon as we're done. We can pray for this dude. And the dude said, I know. So they're getting ready to do their last little, the finishing up stuff at the church. I turn around. This dude bolts out the back. He even left his bag. I was like, what? Okay, so now I remember talking to Joel about this. I actually thought I was going insane. I thought I was losing my mind. I thought, after all this time, and my mind working okay, I'm finally losing it. I'm cracking up. I got to get out of the streets. This is messing me up. That was Sunday. Wednesday, I'm talking about not even a full week since this happened to me, and the Lord starts to reveal this stuff to me. I'm in Benton Harbor, and I'm at the ministry house. I'm sitting in the kitchen, and we're done with prayer meeting. We're done with the lunch. We're done with Bible study. There's still food left over, and I'm trying to clean up a little bit and get ready to put the extra stuff on the table so anybody who comes in can have the extras if they like. And from here, you can see into the dining room, and from the dining room, you can see into the living room. It's like a U shape, but you can't see the living room from the kitchen. Someone comes into the living room. I hear the door open and close, and I hear my friend Esto greet him. Say, hey, how you doing? I'm not even paying attention, except I'm minding my business. I'm minding my business, and somebody comes in, and as soon as whoever it is that comes in, I said, oh, no. This can't be happening to me. When am I going to wake up? I remember saying something very similar to that. When am I going to wake up? This cannot be happening to me. Whoever it is comes into the... I look at this dude. He was probably about 6'5 or 6'6. Esther comes in and says, hey, we have anything left over? This dude say he wants something to eat. And I didn't even agree. Listen, we're friends with murderers in Benton Harbor. We're friends with current drug dealers and users and all that craziness. And I am friendly with everyone that is there. I could care what state of mind they're in. But when whoever he was came into this build, into our house, and I smelt him come in, and he came in and said, and Esther said, do you have anything? I said, I have a little bit. I didn't say hi. I didn't say hello. I didn't greet this dude. I looked at this dude, and for something in me said, this is deeper than just he drinking or smoking or whatever. This is something that the Lord is trying to deliver this man from. I didn't smile, I didn't even try to crack a smile at this guy. So I followed him back into the living room. I said, I wonder what's going on here. But now, all of a sudden, solid food for the mature who even their senses can be trained to discern good and evil. Even their senses. And here the whole time, I'm like in my heart, in my head, I'm like, I cannot be known as a sniffing pastor. And you're laughing now because you think it's funny. But at that time, I said, this is not funny at all. I don't want any people. This is not funny to me at all. I feel like I'm a respectable pastor, but doggone it, if people start to know that I can smell stuff certain times, no, that's all going out the door. And the only thing that is holding me is I have been hungering for God in this for so long. Because you'll seek him and find him when you seek him with all your heart. I realize the reason you have to seek him with all your heart is when you see him, you're going to realize he's not Christian Reformed. He's not Reformed or Methodist or Baptist. He's just God. And the reason your whole heart has got to be in it is because when he reveals himself to you, you're going to be shocked and you may be offended. Your God, the God that you love and pray to and praise to every Sunday, he may offend you when he shows himself to you because he is not Christian Reformed. And the dilemma I was going through in my heart is, am I going to yield to you and allow you to lead me in this, or am I going to reject you because you're not like I thought you were supposed to be? Hey, I don't know if you realize that, but we just went over just this last few phrases, something very deep. I'm not going to go into what happened with that man because it's already 10:30. I will tell you that the scriptures said they learned to discern good and evil because I was in a prayer meeting 2-3 months after that, and I was just trying to discern, is this group someone you want me to partner with, Lord? And I just didn't know. And we were in prayer, and we had done with lunch, and we were in prayer, and I'm in prayer, and thank you, Lord. And you know how sometimes you're trying to get yourself to be wanting to pray. So thank you, Lord, and Lord, I praise you and bless your name. And all of a sudden, I smelled honey, and I was like, hey, that would have gone really good with my bread. And they didn't tell me they had it, so I'm out of prayer, and I'm not praying anymore. I'm looking for the honey, and found out, only to find out they had already cleared all the food out of the room. And instantly, I remember, oh, you learn to discern good and evil. And as soon as I recognized this might be the Lord showing me that he is in this, all of a sudden the prayer meeting went to a completely different level. And I knew instantly that we were supposed to partner with this group. Instantly. I knew it in my heart. Not only that, but I was getting ready to preach over in Wayland at this church, Gun Lake Community Church. And I was getting ready to preach there in the morning when I realized the Lord didn't want me to preach that message. So I'm getting up and I'm like, well, Lord, what else do you want me to preach? And I'm ready to go on my way out the door. And I have no idea what he wants me to preach. So I'm ready to go. And all of a sudden, something like just a passing thought about a message that he wants me to do. And I said, okay, Lord, but you're going to have to confirm it in some way because So I'm walking, open the door to the garage, and the first smell that hits me is honey. And I knew instantly, that's the word of the Lord to this congregation. And when I did it and we gave the altar call, I can't tell you. I spoke to at least 100 people there that day that said, I've been waiting on the Lord and asking for him about that for years. I said, but I want you to know that when the Lord chose to reveal himself in my life this way, I was so offended I didn't even tell my wife. I was so offended at myself. I was angry with the Lord. I said, why? No, 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 no. And only to find out that through this, he has allowed me to be able to know when someone needs more than just a regular prayer. He has allowed me to be able to have a gift that actually can confirm when he is moving in some area or wants me to partner. And it doesn't happen very often, but when I'm in the balance and it is life or death sometimes for some people, he has been training me how to use even my senses to discern good and evil. The crazy thing is, I'm telling you this right now because the crazy thing is there are some of you in here who have been able to sense in your skin when something's wrong. And you just pass it off as like, but God, I want you guys to know that this is not, I was with one of my Christian Reformed friends at a retreat, and I pulled him to the side and I said, I trust you as a man of God. I just want to share with you something that's been happening to me. He said, hey, Nate, don't get crazy, but don't worry about it. He said, I'm not able to smell anything, but I sense it in my skin all the time. Because it doesn't say those who can smell good and evil. It says those who, through reason of use, have trained their senses to discern good and evil. And some of you mothers in here know exactly what I'm talking about. A kid had walked into your area, or a friend from school, and as soon as they came in, something happened to you, and you said, something's wrong about that kid. Now, the only reason I'm willing to expose myself in something like this is because I just asked you, and you saw, that there are many of you in here who have been asking for God to come and visit this city, visit this nation, visit this state. Yes? What you don't realize is that historically, very often, the very people who have been praying for God to move in their time and in their area are the very people who resist him when he comes. One of my mentors was, he worked in the former Soviet Union during the Cold War. And he would sneak Bibles into Soviet Union. And he would meet with pastors in underground churches all over. And they're praying and crying out to God, please do something great. Then the Iron Curtain fell, the Cold War was over, and Christianity was able to flood into Russia. And he said, when I was there, I was very hurt to realize that the pastors who were instrumental in praying for God to come were the ones who were resisting that movement. And what I'm saying to you, Christian reformers, is that you have been instrumental in laying the groundwork of prayer and praying that God would do something in our nation and in this city. But I want you to realize that when he comes, he is not Christian reformed. And I don't want you to miss out on what he's going to do because it doesn't come in your box. What if the Lord hits Byron Center, and all of a sudden, all of the meth use and all the alcohol abuse is confronted, and all of a sudden, these meth abusers and alcoholics start flooding the churches of the area? Are you going to be okay if they pray in tongues? And they lift their hands during worship, and they say hallelujah or amen during the service? Are you going to be okay when God visits your area? Because I'm telling you right now that the people who cried out for the Messiah are the people who eventually murdered him. Because he didn't come like they thought. And I don't want that for you because I am you. And I'm telling you that as someone who is hungering and thirsting for this in my life, I was offended when God came. And the only reason that I didn't reject it wholesale is because I hunger and thirst for him. And if your hunger has waned, you better be careful. Because when he shows himself, just even a little bit, he didn't even show me his whole self. He just said, here's one gifting that I have available. I was so offended with just a small part of one gifting that I almost rejected the entire blessing. And you think you can handle a move of God? Well, maybe you can. But it's going to rest on, do you hunger and thirst? Are you seeking him with all your heart? He said, I'll be known by you when you seek me with all your heart. Because God steps up and says, just have a look at what I have. The fruit is going to be amazing. It's going to be so beautiful. But I'm telling you, it may be hard to handle for a few years. You have to be willing to step back and say, let's just see if it's the Lord. It hurts. I hate what it's doing in me and what it's revealing in me. And I hate almost everything about this move, but I can see that God is working in it. And I want you more than I want my traditions. I want you to do work in Byron Center more than I want to be comfortable. Oh, I want to know if you could really pray that. Yeah, because you're preparing for a move of God has everything to do with how you're hungering and thirsting right now. He has desire to reveal himself to you, but he doesn't have a desire to lose you in the midst of it. And you know what? Should you resist the move of God, he'll back off and he'll allow you to very slowly and carefully die while he finds other people who will yield to him. Because if God was going to come back and do what we've always been doing, he wouldn't be necessary right now. What we need is a move of God that will actually bring revival to our nation, which means he can't come the way he has always been coming. There's got to be revival. Lord, I know how much you love the people of Heritage CRC. And I know how hard they have labored for you in this city and during their season in this city. But now, Lord God, they can admit that we need to see you move in our nation. I know it's not your will that you would lose any of them. Just because you'd leave 99 to go get the one doesn't mean that you don't care about the 99. You care just as much for those who are saved as those who are being saved. And in your love, you have not wanted us to stay where we are. It's your loving kindness that confronts some of the apathy that has happened in our religious seeking of you. But we want to be prepared for your visitation. And I'm asking, Father, I'm asking that all of us in here would start to hunger and thirst for you more and more. We will get into our Bibles, no matter if we feel like it or not, and we will pore over your word the way we do over TV or internet, and we will seek you in prayer and in company and fellowship with other believers, preparing for a day of your coming and the move that you are going to bring to the United States, because you care desperately about the people in the United States who don't know you. And you're even willing to offend many people to see your son's name glorified. So, King Jesus, I ask that you have your way in Heritage CRC and do something here in us that reminds us of how great you really are. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, if you guys don't mind standing up, I'll do the blessing. If you'll receive it from me. And thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want you coming up to me and thinking, hey, now when does this guy smell anything on me? Yeah, I'm going to have a mint or something. Because it happens, you know, very rarely. But God has found that he can help me use it for his glory. So don't come up like, I hope he don't smell nothing on me, you know. none of that, man. Come on. Because I've seen some of it in you. You know, hey, I don't want to go shake his hand too close. No. The Lord is kind and loving. Amen? Amen. All right, just put your hands over your hearts. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his peace. Amen.